Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine being Abraham? Can you imagine hearing what God commanded here in our Old Testament reading, and then to really go and to begin to follow through on it, to go and sacrifice his son? And just to underscore the difficulty of Abraham's situation, let's consider what God had promised Abraham in the past. God made promises to him about innumerable blessings, innumerable descendants. Back in Genesis 15, God took Abraham out to look at the sky and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." He had also promised Abraham that nations and kings would come from his descendants. He promised Abraham that all the families of the earth shall be blessed in him. This was the promise. So this promise was fulfilled in Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that would be, according to the flesh, a descendant of Abraham. So surely Abraham could have expected that he would have descendants. God had promised him this, after all. But he had waited year after year after year, getting older and older without any children, and with his wife Sarah also getting older and older and older, until finally, 25 years after God made his promises to Abraham when he was 100 years old, God granted their son Isaac. Finally, the promised son that came through Abraham and Sarah. Finally, the one through whom God would fulfill his promises. Now it seems that Abraham could rest in peace, knowing that God had fulfilled his promises to him. But then, God tested Abraham in our Old Testament reading for today. God called Abraham and told him, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." What in the world? We might ask, why would God ask him to do this? Here's the son that Abraham has been waiting for so long. Here's the only son that he and Sarah have. Here's the son he loves. Here's the son that God said he was going to give, and he was going to have all these descendants through Isaac. Here is the son through whom God is going to give the Christ, the Messiah. And God is asking Abraham to take that son, the son of the promise, and offer him up as a burnt offering, to kill his son and to burn him as an offering to the Lord. And the amazing thing is that Abraham takes his son, his only son whom he loves, to the mountain that God would show him. He takes Isaac up to that mountain to be sacrificed. Abraham trusted the Lord and his promises, and trusted his power to fulfill his promises, even if Isaac died on the top of that mountain as a burnt offering. The book of Hebrews says of Abraham, he considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham knew that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, and he went trusting in God's power and his promise. He went out in obedience to God's command to sacrifice his son, his only son, whom he loved. And Abraham also exhibits great faith, even as he goes to the place of sacrifice, even as the time draws near, it would seem, for his son to die. First, he tells the young men who are accompanying them to stay at a particular place before they go up the mountain, and says that he and the boy will go worship and come again to them. Perhaps he is even believing that God is going to raise Isaac from the dead and bring him back right then. And then Abraham also displays great faith in God when he responds to Isaac's question as they go up the mountain. Because Isaac notices that there is the fire and there is the wood. But he asks, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And in response to this, Abraham exhibits great faith in God and his promises and responds, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Abraham knew that God would in some way provide the sacrifice, but the only lamb, the only one that God could, that Abraham could see here before his eyes that was being given as the lamb for the sacrifice was his son. And yet he still takes him. It looks like Abraham, probably seemed to Abraham like he was leading his son, his only son whom he loved, up the mountain like a lamb to the slaughter. The firstborn son whom he and his wife had watched over all these years with all the attention that a firstborn gets, seeing him crawl and walk and waiting for his first words, this one now is being led like a lamb to the slaughter. But still, Abraham obeys God's command. He doesn't turn around there as they go up the mountain. And what's more, Isaac also trusted his father, Abraham, and he also trusts God, his heavenly father, trusting that God is indeed going to provide the sacrifice. Abraham went to the place appointed by God, built an altar, and laid the wood on the altar and bound his son. And Isaac here is where, here's where Isaac displays faith in God and his promises, because he trusts Abraham, whom God has given to him as a father. Isaac was a lot younger than Abraham. He probably could have run away. He probably could have decided that his father was crazy and gotten out of there as fast as possible. But he doesn't. We don't hear of any struggle from Isaac. No fight, no resistance. We simply hear that Abraham binds Isaac and lays him on the altar. So there they are. Isaac is bound, lying on the wood. He is ready to die as a sacrifice in obedience to God's command. And Abraham takes up the knife to slaughter his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves. And then the angel of the Lord calls, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham feared God. He feared God's wrath against disobedience more than he feared losing his son. Abraham also loved God even more than he loved the son whom God had given. And Abraham also trusted God. Trusted that God would indeed provide for him and fulfill his promises, even if the son that God had promised and promised to, through whom to give descendants, even if that son died. Abraham feared, loved, and trusted in God more than anything else, or anyone else, even his son. Abraham was willing to give up his son in response to God's command. Would we do the same? Would we be willing to give up our family members? Do we love God even more than our family members? Do we desire to do his will, to follow him and do what he says, regardless of what family members might say or think? Or is there anything else that we would hold back from God if he asked for it? Our homes, our cars, our money, our activities at school or home, our jobs, our careers, our pleasures, even our own lives. Abraham was willing to give up the only son that he and his wife Sarah had, trusting in God's promises and trusting God's power to raise the dead. But God is teaching us something far greater than simply holding up Abraham as an example of faith and of fear, love, and trust in him. God is teaching us about Jesus, about what Jesus was going to do, also on a hill, on the Mount of Calvary, to sacrifice himself for us. And how does this happen? Well, let's finish the story. After Abraham hears the voice of the angel of the Lord, he looks and sees a ram caught in a thicket. And that ram is laid then on the altar and is sacrificed instead of, in place of Isaac, in place of Abraham's one and only son. A ram dies in Isaac's place. But a descendant of Isaac, Jesus Christ, the one and only beloved Son of God, was not spared a cruel death. The wood of the cross was laid upon Jesus. He bore the wood of his cross up that mountain, at least part of the way, before someone else took part of it. Jesus went up a mountain to be sacrificed, Mount Calvary. He was bound to the wood of that cross to suffer and die. To put it in terms of the record of Abraham and Isaac here in our Old Testament reading, God the Father takes the knife and lifts it up to slay his only son, because Jesus meets the wrath of God on the cross. He suffers the punishment of God for all of your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world on the cross. And like Isaac then, Jesus is brought to a mountain to be sacrificed. But unlike Isaac, no ram takes his place. God the Father is not told to stop and to not kill his son. But he goes through with it to slaughter his own son on the cross in your place and in my place. And we, the Isaacs of the world, look on then while Jesus is sacrificed on the cross in our place. We should have been laying there. We should meet the wrath of God. The knife of God's wrath should come down upon us for our sins, for all of our unwillingness to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, for our love for other things above our Lord. And instead, it comes down on Jesus. And what's more, Jesus didn't deserve it. He was not a sinner like Isaac or like you or like me. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God. God was well pleased with him. He met the temptations of Satan. And he did not give in to the temptations of the devil. He perfectly lived the life we should have lived in our place in order that he could go to the cross as the perfect sacrifice and die the death that we deserve to die. Can you imagine the relief that Isaac felt and that Abraham felt at that moment when the angel of the Lord called to Abraham and told him not to lay his hand on Isaac and stopped him? What a relief to see that knife lowered and set aside, and to see that knife come down instead on a ram. And what a relief it is for all of us to see that the knife of God's wrath came down on Jesus on the cross and not on us. That when it should have come down on us, it is taken and instead it comes down on Jesus, the Lamb of God who sacrificed for the sins of the world. But as we look at our gospel reading, we see that even though Jesus came to do this, not everyone wanted, and still today, not everyone wants Jesus as the sacrifice. We saw people there in our gospel reading, Jews who should have known the promises of God, who rejected Jesus, who refused to believe that he is God, and even charged Jesus with having a demon. To reject Jesus in this way would be like Isaac saying there on the altar that he would rather take on God's judgment, take the wrath of God, and not have Jesus, the Ram, the Lamb of God, sacrificed in his place. To reject Jesus as the one who comes to take away sin. It's absurd when we put it that way. Why would anyone want to take God's wrath and refuse Jesus? But just like the Jews who argue with Jesus in our gospel reading, there are still many today who reject Jesus, because they don't come to him that they may have life. They may believe in God. They may think they are pretty good on their own. And they don't come to be a part of God, of Jesus' body, the church. They do not want baptism. They do not want to hear the word of God. They think they are just fine without Jesus, without his cross, and without his forgiveness. But Jesus, our ram, our substitute, is still here week after week, holding out that forgiveness, that life, and that salvation. His word is still showing us our sin so that he may give us his forgiveness. Pointing out that we deserve God's wrath forever. We deserve the knife, but that knife has been laid on Jesus. Believe, dear Christians, that this sacrifice of Christ is the only sacrifice that is sufficient, that is enough for your sins. Believe that he is the only one who can stand there and meet the wrath of God and rescue you from it. Apart from him, the knife of God's wrath comes down on you. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So don't hold on to your sins. Don't defend them. Don't think that you can meet God's wrath or use your own excuses or self-justifications or your own good works to meet God's wrath, to meet his judgment. Instead, confess your sins and lay them all on this ram, your substitute. And now this cross with Jesus, our ram, our substitute, is veiled. As we remember our sin and the fact that we are not worthy that the Lord, the God of the universe, would die in our place. But by Easter, this cross will be unveiled. And we will see once again the picture of our Savior taking our place for us and fully paying for our sins. And on Easter, we will know that while the cross was full, while Jesus was there in our place, the tomb was empty on Easter morning. Empty because he had fully paid for our sins when he was on the cross. Here, the Father's Son, his only begotten Son, whom he loves, was taken to the Mount of Calvary and was sacrificed for you. And you, like Isaac, walk down that mountain alive. You go from your baptism with new life. You walk from the Lord's Supper with new life. You walk from the absolution with new life. All because Jesus has gone into death and has fully paid the price for all your sins. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.